Off the Ball.
GAA.
And we lost and we were shite. And then Duke Gavin was like, we're having a meeting tomorrow. we were just like, oh, we're not around.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy. Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
Hey folks, it's Will here from the Hurling Pod. This is effectively Hurling Pod 1.5, I'm going to call it for this week. It's all brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, who are the proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. This was a conversation I had intended to go into the Monday pod for the Hurling Pod this week, but it ended up becoming a little bit longer, more detailed, maybe a little bit more unwieldy than I'd anticipated. This was going to be a short piece, which I intended to play to Paul Murphy and James Gell, and we'd have a conversation around it. So on Sunday afternoon, I sat down with former All-Ireland Hurling Final referee on multiple occasions, Brian Gavin, because I was interested to see that last week, around, we're not sure if it was 11 or 12 referees, but around about a dozen referees in football didn't pass the initial fitness tests before the league got underway, which caused a big problem for the GAA with the potential shortage of top line inter-county referees being available for the first few rounds of the league. They were then retested last week and the pass rate was much, much higher with some referees and indeed some former referees like Brian questioning some of the methodology around the fitness tests which the referees are taking currently in season and will be taking again as we move towards the championship. I understand that some hurling referees who were either unable or didn't pass the test first time round had the chance to retake them in the weekend just gone by. So I'm sure we'll probably be hearing the results of those fitness tests probably later this week ahead of the third round of the National Hurling League. But thought it was interesting to have a chat with Brian, get his thoughts on it. He retired as an inter-county referee back in 2017. Says he has no regrets about stepping away 6 and a bit years later at this stage. We talked about the compulsory retirement age of 50, particularly given that John Keenan had refereed and refereed very well in the Fitzgibbon Cup final between Mary Eye and UL on the weekend just gone. And we take a look at some other aspects, including the calls for VAR at different times already this year to have a look at decisions, whether that would actually be something that could be enforced, two referees on the pitch, whether that would be a help or whether it would be a hindrance. And we had a bit of a conversation as well about the upcoming motion at the end of this month, which is going to go to Congress from the NINA Club, which could end up reforming the hand pass. We'll see if Brian is in favour of potential changes to the hand pass rule as well. So this was intended to be in the Monday main pod. We'll call this Hurling Pod 1.5 for this week. I had a conversation with former All-Ireland final referee Brian Gavin. Have a listen. This time round, the pass completion rate was a lot better than first time round. I mean, maybe you can explain to me why there's such a difference that you've got over a dozen referees who fail first time and they're not around in the first round of the Football League particularly. There's big concern about the test and what's actually going wrong. And then a few weeks later, the pass rate jumps up massively. Is that something about the test, or how could guys surely didn't get fitter in 2 weeks?
I'd say it's about the test and the way it was run the second time, maybe the way it was run the first time. And I suppose the first time it's up in Abbottstown and it was very, very strict. And, you know, there's a whole lead up into why referees were annoyed, and it's all about the training. We'll delve into that maybe in a few minutes. But to answer your question, it was run on a regionalised basis, the second one. Wouldn't have been run as strict, and lads got over the line. I believe there was cameras on the line in Abbottstown, and I'm sitting here saying to myself in 2017, wasn't that the greatest choice you have ever made, standing down from Intercounty? If that's the people, the running association, have cameras on the line to see if a referee touches a line, unbelievable stuff.
When you say the standard may have changed, or maybe how strictly it was being enforced, would you say it was being over strictly enforced the first time round, or what's the feeling among the referees? Because I'm sure you're still in a WhatsApp group with some of the active ones as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been really rigorous first time out. And I suppose Aidan Brady, who was there in DCU, was conducting the test for years along with Niall Mina, and Aidan had moved on. And Dermot Sheridan, who we'd all know here in Offaly, who was involved in the background team with Offaly footballers for a couple of years, has taken over. So I'm not sure whether it's Dermot's opinion to put in cameras or maybe Croke Park's administration, but all this is doing is leading to low morale And there's no confidence in the referee's ability, in his fitness, in anything. The good seems to be gone over it. And I'm not saying referees go out and take it easy and make a skit of games. Not for 1 minute. What I'm saying is, for you performing your best in any sport, you have to have a good background, you have to have morale, and most importantly, you have to have everyone pulling the one way. And at the moment, there's a massive disconnect between the referees and the refereeing body itself.
How long has that disconnect been around?
I would say probably it's building every year. Every year it's getting a little bit worse and worse. And I suppose the annoying fact for referees is to see intercounty players, and everyone knows intercounty players are not getting paid, to get expenses, to have a physio, to have a dietitian, to have a gym programme, to have a strength and conditioning coach. There may be 5-6 times a week training. We heard last night Davy Burke saying Roscommon have 65 training sessions done, and it was the 17th of February yesterday. And we're asking referees maybe to go once a week to Mallow in Munster, we'll say, Abbottstown maybe once a week or fortnight for Leinster, and Croke Park when they meet collectively as that bunch maybe every 3 weeks. Why can't we regionalise it 2 nights a week, 10 or 12 referees in different provinces and different areas, getting their fitness work in, getting their strength and conditioning programme, getting their dietitian, helping them out. Let's invest a few pounds, let's get the morale back, and let's get everyone refereeing a bit better, I think, for everyone's sake.
You're 6 and a bit years now at this stage, retired from the intercounty scene. Are the fitness standards and the fitness tests that are there now very different to what they would have been at the end of the 2017 season?
Well, I suppose, you know, the fitness test going back years and years was 7.5 laps of a GA field, which is a 2 mile run, 3,200 metres, and it had to be 15.5 minutes. And I suppose that got outdated, and they brought in what they call the bleep test. And it started at a low enough level, the pass rate around 14.4. So then it went up to 14.6, and then 14.8, 15.4, 15. Now it's up at 16.8, and for the championship, 17.4. The test lasts between 12 and 14 minutes. It maxes out. The real sports science lads would tell you it's probably a brilliant test. The referees and everyone normally would say refereeing is about 40-metre runs, 50-metre runs, 60-metre runs. Why can't we train ourselves to be like that? And I don't think if we had 2 nights a week training collectively, how any referee with a match of the weekend could be unfit. And do we need to test people? Is testing someone just proves that you're wired to the moon? And I think it is.
And I think with some of the referees, the dozen or so that didn't meet the standard the first time out, were some of them injured as well, Brian? Because there was definitely talk about that. There were lads who were carrying knocks, and maybe rather than, to use the quote, failing the test, they actually weren't able to do it.
Absolutely, Will. And of course, don't forget, it's in early January. So, I don't have to tell people about the flu symptoms and the sickness that's out there at the moment. There's even a stomach bug going around. So different lads would be different. And even your build-up, if you missed a week training building up to that to try and pass it. Like, for example, Will, a man like myself would have to practice that test through a CD player nearly all my life to pass it. And I remember going up to the hallway in our building in Claridge, the convent building, it's 20 metres, and putting the CD player onto the windowsill and practicing my test. That's the only way I could improve, get used to the beeps, get used to moving at the time. And as a result of it, the twisting and turning of my training schedule that I tried to pass that test and go up to Abbottstown and do it, I ended up here 4 weeks ago having knee surgery because of the twisting and turning. And that's the bottom line. And surely people can realise that twisting and turning every 20 metres, and we're talking about men, Will, that are between 30 and 50 years of age, twisting and turning every 20 metres, it's madness. It has to be scrapped immediately, and let's get the referees training and let's get them back in good humour and refereeing.
Can you give me an insight then maybe into how much other work would go on for referees, particularly say, let's take an intercounty championship referee, between say meetings, maybe going to meet assessors, that type of stuff as well. Like, how much of that on a weekly basis would you have to do, or is it more on a kind of a monthly?
Mainly, I'll be honest with you, when I was refereeing at a high echelons, as they say, I remember we'd meet every maybe 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, either in Abbottstown or there was a place out in ALSA Fitness Centre out near the airport. We used to go out there. They were great sessions. Pat McEnany was there and Pat Doherty, in fairness, and we were doing 200s and 100 metre runs. Brilliant training. Especially for hurling, like if you know, imagine hurling Will and a cornerback clears at six. You know, we were that was proper training. We were doing in groups of four, and we were doing hundreds and 200s and 40s and 60s, and we really enjoyed it. And it lasted a half an hour, 40 minutes, very similar to a game, maybe even 50 minutes in some nights. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Now, I'm not saying they don't do that type of training in Abbottstown anymore, but I'm saying the fitness test needs to be scrapped immediately, or this problem will keep coming, because it's negative. And now there's lads back refereeing the last week or two. They haven't riffed in 2 or 3 years, it's a...
Yeah. And I was just thinking along that line, watch the Fitzgibbon Cup final at the weekend, and John Keane had a very good game. I think we both know, like, I'm a fan of the way that he referees anyway. I think he's kind of, he's a player's kind of referee, does a lot of talking, explains things. I think you'd find it very difficult to find a player who would actually have a bad thing to say about John and the way that he takes charge of games. He's reached 50 years of age, he's had to step away from Inter County, but yet you see him in a very fast, he played Fitzgibbon Cup final and he was well able to stick with play. Like, does it not make sense to have John Keane around to referee Inter County?
And sometimes, Will, it takes lads, that's just time. And I remember John Keenan was on our panel and he probably couldn't get a look in. You know, in that time, there was a very, very high standard. We had 7 or 8 really good referees, and John would maybe get a quarter final, or he'd just maybe get a first round or two. But I think he learned a lot of experience. You know what I'm saying? And he really has taken it. And he, you know, he done a fine job in the All-Ireland final. He done a fine job yesterday. Very, very good referee. Not sure where that rule came in. Someone brought in madness, 50 years of age. 2 referees before John Keenan, very unlucky, on the verge of ref in All-Ireland, was Jimmy White from Donegal and Gerry Kinnevy from Roscommon. And the 50 rule came in. And I felt so sorry for them men. They were men reaching that age, but they were as fit. Jimmy White was as fit, and Gerry Kinnevy as 2 referees as you'd see. And I felt so sorry for them that they were on the verge of getting their All-Irelands, and here they had to step away. Again, a crazy, crazy rule. We've lads in Offaly, there's lads in Westmead, everywhere, reffing to 71 or 2. You take Noel Cooney here in Offaly, one of the fitter referees out there. Every morning he's out at 6:30 running laps of the field here in the Kelly's field beside him. So I think they should go to at least 55 or 60. Or why did they bring in a rule? I don't know.
It seems very arbitrary to me to have it as a number at 50, because you could get a guy who is fitter at 50 than a guy might be in his early 40s.
Absolutely, and sure, there was many a referee older than me, Will, and fitter than me. And then, but the area what we need to do, I think, from Croke Park down is, if they're not happy with someone's fitness, and you know, I see comments on social media about you have to be fit. Of course you have to be fit, but I don't think you should be ruled out of refereeing just because of your fitness.
Yeah.
I think there should be an overall criteria to referee, that maybe 40% on your decision making, 40% maybe your ability and your reading of the game, your understanding of the rules, all that, and maybe 20% of the fitness. That doesn't mean you're not fit, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, Brian Gavin mightn't be as fit as James McGrath, whoever, but is Brian Gavin a better referee than James McGrath? That's the decisions Croke Park would have to make, or vice versa. And we need to have an overall criteria to be referee. Don't eliminate someone because they're a little bit weak in one area of their overall aspect of being a referee.
The other thing, I suppose, I may as well ask you about what comes up on social media every time, which is the idea that the game is so quick now, and when it comes to hurling, you see how strong lads are and how far they can poke the ball very quickly. You're not going to outrun how far a cornerback might be able to poke the ball forward in one stroke these days. And in football, when it's not a case of a possession game, if there's a couple of kicks, it can move to one end to the other. So people say, why not have 2 referees like the AFL? Like, what would you think about the idea of having 2?
It would be difficult for the simple reason, it'd be nice if you had 2 with the same style of referees, that type of way, and were very good friends, we'll say, and could work together off the field as well as on the field. It'd be terrible if I was one end and maybe someone different style down the other end. It would be difficult. I've often heard it mentioned before about 2 referees, and as people would say, one Brian Gavin out there is enough, we don't want to see 2 of them, you know, that type of way. But I wouldn't say there's a need for that. And I would say, Will, I think hurling's gone. They're moving a lot more about hand pass, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And football is not, you don't think, like, the ball has not been kicked as often now. I saw last night in a couple of games, a couple of long balls kicked in the Kerry game, all right. But I think in football, you know, you don't probably have to be as fast as you used to be. You have to be fit. I don't think you have to be as fast as you used to be. There's a lot of ball going across, a lot of static stuff. So, you know, I'd be happy enough with one referee for the time being. But I think if we do the few simple things that people are outlining, we'll have a lot few problems.
How would you feel about the idea of VAR? Because obviously we saw Fintan Burke carrying the ball over his own line in the All-Ireland Club Final, missed by the umpires. Now there's an argument to say the umpires should have seen that anyway, and their positioning wasn't right and they shouldn't have missed it. But the reality is, if that had gone up on the big screen straight away, the referee would have known that it was a goal. And similarly, I think of the steps in the Waterford game last weekend, where there's about 10 steps, if that could have been referred to a video monitor, you would have said straight away a mistake's been made on the field. I don't know. I mean, I know there's obviously a thing about you wouldn't be able to have probably video officials in every ground or at every level, so it'd have to be selective. But then again, Hawkeye's selective at the moment. Like, how would you feel about the idea of, say, video being there potentially to help referees?
I would agree with Mark Landers on this, and Mark is very vocal on the Examiner podcast. My theory would be exactly as Mark Landers. Anything major should be reviewed. You mentioned it there, Hawkeye is used. It's not in every ground. Why can't we trial it off? You know, if Dickie Murphy or Willie Barrett or Nola Dunne, whoever is in Hawkeye, if there's someone else in there having a look and something major happens, like the Club All-Ireland, like Austin Gleeson's ghost goal 3 or 4 years, 5 years ago, we have to get them right. There's no justice for any team if we don't get them right. Same maybe with a blatant red card. And we're talking about 20 seconds here. Yeah. Hawkeye's 30. We're talking about 20, 30 seconds. That's all it is. I would not go down the road, though, Will, of maybe picking up little willy-nilly fouls here and there, or like soccer, what they're doing. Absolutely not. But I think for any team, that the Joe Sheridan's goal is a prime example. Look at Loud's heartbreak that time. You know, we can't be getting them decisions wrong, for them teams in particular. So I think for the sake of 20 or 30 seconds, let's start in Croke Park, let's have it in Thurles, maybe in Páirc Cliath, and so on, and let's try it.
Yeah, and I think as well, what you could have, as you say, it doesn't have to be as invasive as it is in football. By football, I mean soccer at the moment, where things are being referred and the referee's been called over very frequently and it slows the game down. The idea would be that, say, if you had a fourth official who is up there in the box or in the video truck or wherever they need to be for this, that they could be just watching incidents like this, where we see it happen all the time. A hit happens and the referee thinks that was actually higher than it was on the pitch, but he doesn't get a chance to see it a second time.
Yeah.
Very quickly, that could be resolved. You could say, well, actually, your man dips in, it shouldn't be a red card, change it to a yellow. You'd be able to make these decisions pretty quickly, I would think.
It's amazing, Will, and a lot of people will be able to echo what I'm trying to say here. If you're standing on the sideline as a coach or a player or a linesman or a referee, your vision is a little bit different than what someone in the terrace sees or what someone up in the video. So I actually completely agree with you there. If something major happens and have a different angle of it, the referee can get it wrong. Sometimes a lad might go with the elbow or miss, or, you know, different things might happen. But down on the pitch level, it's some, like I do, we do call it now, going to a Connor Park, the crow's nest, as we call it. We're up there, we can see everything, see how many lads is back and who's getting forward and what's happening. It's very hard for management to see that. I know they're wired to other lads up there, but I'm only saying at pitch level, it's very, very different.
Yeah. And I would think as well, the likes of, say, a tangle. I'm thinking of Jack O'Connor's red card in Wexford Park a couple of weeks ago, whereby I'm sure a sideline official there saw his hand come around and grab a face guard, but maybe doesn't see the initial incident because you're trying to see through players. But yet, if they had the video, I reckon both men would have walked.
I'm delighted you brought to Hop, Will, and
go
I'll
on.
Tell you why. If I was refereeing that game, I wouldn't have stopped that game.
You wouldn't have sent either of them off?
No. And I'll tell you why. It happened within a split 2 to 3 seconds. He wasn't probably sure. He definitely was sure Jack O'Connor held David King's face guard. Replays will show you both of them. But I think, and this is, I hope people hear me out in this, sometimes referees bring unnecessary attention to themselves. And if Sean Stack didn't blow that whistle, do you think TG4 would have shown that back, or RT, or anyone who was broadcasting that game? Not a hope. Play would have continued, the ball was underground, someone would have rose the ball and gone on with it, and it was over and done with. And one more example I give you. I think Barry Kelly came under pressure years ago for sending off Henry Shefflin. His first yellow card, he had the Cork player had broken the tackle. Shefflin hit him a tap in the arm. The player was gone. No one had it stopped. The player was gone from Cork. Barry stopped it and yellow card. Now, Barry was probably right. But I would say to myself, Barry, let him go. No one is even after copping that. And next thing, Shefflin gets the second yellow and there's a big foray because it's Henry Shefflin that. But what my point is, sometimes do not bring unnecessary attention to yourself. It'll come back to bite you.
Right. So if you had seen that, you would have saw two guys having to pull at each other and move on.
Absolutely. And have a word with them going by in the next minute, lads, let go of the face guards.
Okay.
Now, there were minimal contact, let's be honest about it.
Well, I think Jack O'Connor particularly, his hand slips over the top
absolutely.
Of Dave King's helmet to an extent.
Yeah, and what are we talking about? 2 or 3 seconds. And as I said to you, it always looks worse slowed down. Play on. No one saw it.
Yeah. And I'd wonder, though, before we do move off, Denson, whether in O'Connor's case, he's got a hand coming across his face at the time and he's going for a pullback to try and get King off him at the time. And I wonder if he even realises he's actually grabbed the face.
Absolutely. Sure, players are not even looking at each other in that incident. And that's why I'd say it was completely accidental. But when you leave your fingers in, you're going to, it's natural reaction. If I put my hand to this table here, I'm going to hold it for a second or two longer than normal. Just natural reaction. I definitely wouldn't have blown anything there, and no one would have been any the wiser.
Okay. On the hand pass, set the tone for me first of all, because look, you're still refereeing at club level when people hear about the 2017 stepping away from Intercounty. Has the application of the hand pass got worse? Because Barry Kelly said on the RT podcast a couple of weeks ago, he reckons 3/4 of all hand passes are now fouls at this stage. Would you see it the same way?
Well, the game has changed considerably. I'd say in my time, there might be 10 or 20 hand passes. It was definitely getting now as 16, 17, that era. I think Davy Fitzgerald had brought it forward with his college teams in particular, and he transferred it into Clare in 2013, at that era, roughly around that time. And Cork and all them teams were trying out. So since that, it has got really, really, and what I'm saying, 10 or 12 players around the ball, no one holding their position. So now we're moving the ball as in hand passing to create a little bit of space. So I think now there's an average 100 hand passes per game. As I said to you, I'd say there wouldn't be 20 most games. So it has changed. Are they fouling the ball? Absolutely 50%, I would say. I don't know, it's about 3/4. Barry could be right, he could have it broke down. Roughly 50 to 3/4. But I think it's the laziness of the mentors and the coaches that's coaching this. And players, I would, in Clara myself, Senior B a couple of years ago, and I'd be shouting at the lads, make sure it's a definite strike connection. And you'd still see the 2 or 3 lazy lads that had rather just throw it. Yeah. No matter what you told them. And they're throwing the ball, well, let me tell you, most of them.
Because when we were growing up, that was it. It was always shouted by the mentors, there has to be a very clear motion. If you don't get that, the referee is going to pull you. Therefore, you don't see that. And look, you see also, I suppose, variations at the moment, and the top teams are doing it, where I wouldn't necessarily call it a throw, but it's more of a kind of a slap or a flick that's coming out of the hand, which is not the hand pass motion as was ever intended.
No, and look, there is a very quick hand pass, and then you're saying to yourself, did he hand pass that? Was it a deficit strike in action? So that's the decision a referee has to make on the day.
You'd have the game room because you pulled them all, though.
Absolutely. And then some lads are pulling them on in the first 5 or 10 minutes, and next thing you have to pull them all. So maybe referees should start pulling them in the first 5-6 minutes as corners that happen. And would lads start? Now, I know the motion coming in from Nina would be that you'd have to, the ball, that your hand pass has to be the other hand hand pass.
Yeah, or as we off the hurdle.
And I was trying this with our lads, switching hands, as we call it, when you're coaching. Switch hands. And some of them, 5 or 6 of them really tuned in can do it. And then you 5 or 6, what are you talking? And they couldn't get used to it. That'll be difficult. Intercounty, it probably won't be, but at clubs, it'll be difficult. So how do we get the right balance will be very interesting in the years to come. It's not functioning at the moment. I agree with Barry Kelly and the Rules Committee. There's not a definite strike connection in the majority of cases.
If the motion goes through, do you think that will actually help to clean it up? Because in theory, like, you can't get away with doing the quick throw anymore if you do that, because you're going to have to make a conscious decision to use the other hand or use the hurl. I don't know if it's going to slow things up for players in rooks. I don't know what you're thinking about the motion as it's down.
It'd be very hard to switch hands in a rook, wouldn't it? A few lads around you. And next thing you're into over-carrying, or you're just dropping on the ground, and then there's more rooks. So it probably can be definitely trialled. I know there was some trial in some of the earlier freshers games. I'm not too sure how they went.
It was the league games.
In the freshers in that time, But it'll be a difficult one, definitely, for in the coming year or two. But I think it's the only aspect of the game, really, in hurling at the moment. I'm not a fan of the rooks, but they're out there and they're never going to be not. While there's gyms out there and you have strength and condition, you're going to have rooks and style of play. But if we can tidy up the hand passing, it'd be great for a lot of people.
Does that mean you'd support the motion then?
Absolutely, yeah, I would. The only thing with motions, and we saw it in Offaly this year with the club championship, even for when clubs get in or delegates, it's hard to convince them for change.
Yeah.
You know, and a lad could tell you in your club tonight or in your county, he's going to Croke Park to vote for this. We've all agreed. The next thing, he fills out what he wants on the Sí himself. And that's one of the biggest issues.
I know. Look, you've been a delegate for years for your club. And what could naturally happen at Congress now when it comes round at the end of the month is that you'll get a fair few people who'll be voting on that motion who might be from a very football-dominant county and might have little or no interest in the motion itself.
Yeah, and they could get a phone call from someone, or someone that advocates this quick hand pass, as they call it, will tell them on the day, don't forget now, you know, even though his club or his county have agreed, no, we're going to vote for this, They still might press the other button. That's the thing.
One thing before we finish, just on the hand pass. Last year, it was really clamped down upon. Around about this time, I think it was after the first break in the Hurling League, and next thing, referees are pulling it all over the place in round three and round four, and it was definitely going to be dealt with. And the year before, they've been talking about it as well. It seems this is around the time of the year when we talk about this. And yet, by the time the championship comes around, both of the last couple of years, the throw passes were back.
Yeah, but you see, who came under the pressure, Will, is the referees for blowing it. But not a word about the coaches or the players themselves, who didn't do the sessions of a definite strike and hand pass. And here's lads on the terrace and in the stand booing and shouting at a referee when he blows it, let the game effing go and all this crack.
Yeah.
But when they blow it, they're the ones. But nothing about the coaches or the players are after doing it. That's the thing there. It's always the referee, isn't it? But
it
anyway.
Is. And like, I suppose one of the things as well, I guess they remind you for a short while, Brian. It's kind of, I presume this comes up at the referee meetings and it's the big hot topic for a little while, and there always seems to be something that's been pulled at, or make sure you do X, Y, or Z, and it kind of happens for a short term. Because I suppose it's like you've been told in work, make sure you do this for the next little while and you can easily slip back into old habits again.
Absolutely. It's the same in anything. Something repetitive, and as I said to you, no matter how many times the lazier lad will just throw the ball because he just do his own thing at times. But I think if coaches are getting expenses and getting paid, I think they should do their job. And then it's up to the referees then to do their job, if you know what I'm saying. And don't start shouting a balloon at a referee because he's blown a hand pass that he's not sure whether it was thrown or hand pass. Very hard to see now, Will, with the amount of bodies around as well.
And to round off the chat nicely, are we going to lose some more top intercounty referees? Because I remember chatting to Fergal Horgan a little bit last year when he decided to step away, and he was very unhappy about some of the appointments. He was very unhappy about, I suppose, a lot of the culture around intercounty refereeing at the time. And the impression he gave me when I was talking to him is that he wasn't the only one who felt that way.
I would think with the amount of money and investment that's going into people that are being paid in Croke Park to deliver, like, I don't know what the staff number is in Croke Park. I don't know how many coaches is being, but there is serious money being pumped into coaching and development of our game, which is fine. My argument is, what is going into refereeing to improve it? We need help, and we need it fast. And I'm very conscious and aware that there has been good work in the last 3 or 4 months behind the scene. There is walls starting to be broke down gently. We probably haven't seen them yet, but I'd welcome the referees that are sticking their chest out and saying, look, this needs to change. More investment and more effort and structure does need to go into refereeing. And it's the one aspect of most weekends something happens. It's about a refereeing decision. But are we helping them enough? Are we coaching them enough? And that's my big argument. I think we need to up the standards in investment, structure and coaching, and especially around the regionalised training to help the referees. I'd be saying we need help. If I was still there, I'd be saying we need help.
And how's the recruitment gone? Because I know you're in the middle of recruiting referees.
Yeah, we've... See, there's a couple of counties, give just people examples. A couple of counties now at the moment are putting it back in clubs that if they don't supply a referee from their club, that their allocation of All-Ireland tickets will be seized or cut off.
It's the ultimate blackmail.
So I think Westmeath have 40-something going in this week, new referees. And I'm saying, that's brilliant, but how many of them will swim?
Yeah.
You know, you can throw as many fish into the sea, how many will swim? In Offaly, we're slightly different. We do advertising and that, and we try and bring in 4 or 5 a year, maybe 6, but we try and keep them. We try and mind them as much as we can. We had 6 in last year. We've held 3 or 4. We've another 4 this year. We hope to hold at least that. So if we can keep building and building, we have some chance. But clubs do need to really pull their socks up and help out, because the clubs that are giving out probably aren't supplying referees.
Yeah. You've got the horse race and you've got the radio commentary at the moment. Do you ever miss intercounty refereeing?
Absolutely not. No, Will, that's the truth. I love doing a few club games. Very fortunate this year to get the county final in Offaly. I think it's changed a lot, and I wouldn't get on well with the people that is running or organising refereeing at the moment. I wouldn't get on well with them. they wouldn't be on my... that doesn't mean I'm right. I'm only just saying I wouldn't go home with them. And Fergal Horgan didn't go home with them. I don't think David Goff, for instance, is getting on too well. And probably plenty of other referees who are not vocal because they want to get a chance to ref. They're not going to say...
It's not a good sign if guys who refed seven or eight last All-Irelands there you've just after listening off are not getting on.
James McGrath would be another, I would mention. Right. Yeah, Johnny Ryan, I would say, I would mention. And it's disappointing. And all I'm saying is Tom Ryan and all his staff up there, start giving refereeing a bit more thought if you can. Please, Tom.
OTB's The Hurling Pod
with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.